Before we look into God's Word this evening, I'd like to take a moment and pray, thanking God for the leaders that we have here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done in our lives. We praise you for the servants that you have used in order to do these things. We thank you for the faithful ministry of the Odins here at Liberty Baptist for the past 10 years. We thank you for your work in their lives, and in turn, working through them to work in ours. We give you the honor and the praise this evening for what you have done, and we want to thank you for those that you have placed in our lives, because it shows how much you care about us to give us such a fine couple to help us to grow. We praise you for that, and we ask as we look at your word this evening that you would challenge us. Challenge us to love you more deeply, to love our leaders more deeply, to love one another more deeply. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and you have heard testimonies of how God has worked through the Odins in the lives of those sitting around you. Perhaps you have shared a testimony this evening. As we look at 1 Peter 5, I want us to consider how we should view one another. How the leaders, the elders, ought to view the congregation. How the congregation ought to view the elders, and how each one of us should view each other. I believe as Peter is finishing his letter to these churches, he wanted to encourage his hearers. He was encouraging them in the midst of persecution. He wanted to encourage the leaders as they were facing persecution at the forefront. As he gets to chapter 5, he stresses the point that every individual, every interaction, every word toward others or about others must be governed by the understanding that Christ is the chief shepherd. Every individual, every interaction, every word must be governed by that thought that Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And that should change the leader's view of the congregation's view of their leaders, and each one of us, everyone, how we view each other. And to see that, we're going to view three exhortations that Peter gives. He exhorts the elders. He exhorts the others, and he exhorts all. And we'll see that at the beginning of chapter 5. This evening is a conglomeration, is encouragement to Pastor Odins to continue on and to see Christ as the chief shepherd, which he does. It's encouragement to you to look to your leaders, as many of you are, as given by the chief shepherd. And it's encouragement to each one of us to look to each other in humility. We begin with the exhortation to the elders that Peter, with the first four verses, emphasizes. He finishes talking about the persecution that the church was facing and would face, and he immediately goes into the elders, understanding that the elders are often at the forefront of the persecution, for they are many times the voice that the world hears from a certain church. That is the case here as Pastor Odin speaks to us and others around in the community hear him. Persecution often comes to them, and so Peter encourages them. The source of this exhortation is from a fellow elder, Peter, probably an elder at the Church of Jerusalem, an apostle who was functioning as a leader for the churches, this growing body of believers that is in various areas. He's not only a fellow elder, but he's a witness to the sufferings of Christ. He has seen Christ in the garden. He has seen Christ being judged unjustly. He's witness to the sufferings, and that encouraged him to speak the truth. He's a fellow elder, a witness, and a partaker of the coming glory. As Christ comes back, he has the hope of Jesus Christ, and he exhorts these other elders. The command that he gives is that they shepherd the flock of God. They shepherd the flock of God. They exercise oversight, as we see in verse 2. This is to be done in several ways, with several attitudes. And he gives not only the positive, but the negative. He tells them not to exercise oversight as a duty, something that they must do, that is forced upon them. If Pastor Odin's were to be doing this as a mere duty, I would fear that he wouldn't have been here 10 years. Because a duty such as this is too much. There must be something more. And Peter says, not as a duty, but willingly. The long hours that you spend visiting the sick, going to visitors' homes with cookies, poring over the scriptures in order to be able to speak to the congregation that awaits a message and an unfolding of God's word, dealing with the mundane tasks of everyday duties. Do that willingly, not for shameful profit. We can all give examples, and probably personal examples, of ministers that we have seen that have been in the ministry for money. Or not only money, but power, or reputation. And that's sad. But I don't think anyone would mention Pastor Odin's. He does it eagerly. That's an encouragement. It's an encouragement when I see his pastoral ministry affect not only how he acts in the church, but outside the church. Crystal and I lived with them for a month and a half in their basement. We were like the little trolls under the stairs. And they showed the pastoral care at that time. They cared for us. They took us in when we really didn't have a place to go. Willingly. Eagerly. Peter says not to lord it over the flock, subjugate these people as though they were mere pawns to be moved around at will and to be done with as they deserve, as little people that don't understand what's going on. This word of lording it over is used in Matthew 20:25 of what the Gentiles do. It's used, this example is used in Ezekiel chapter 34, when it speaks of the elders who had no care for the flock. They were only in it for themselves. Peter says, don't lord it over the flock as a Gentile would lord over these other people, but rather be an example. As Paul in Philippians 3:17 tells the believers, follow me. The elders are to be an example and be able to say, follow me as I follow Christ. And that is what we have seen. We have seen not only the word being taught, but the word being lived. And do you realize how all of this comes about? How there can be a man who does not do ministry for shameful profit, but eagerly, who does not lord it over the people, but shows an example who does not live in a way that is merely for the attention of others, but the glory of God? How that's possible? It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit. And God's working in the lives of Pastor Odin's and Gloria proves the fact that he is working on them and he is changing them, and it's to his glory. Each of these things that is evident in their lives shows that God is changing them and the glory belongs to him. These follow the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. In dealing with people, that is what we see in their lives. And the glory goes to God. These elders have been given a command to shepherd the flock, exercise oversight, but they have been given a reason for why they must do this. And that is found in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The chief shepherd is coming. The over shepherd is on his way. That is why these elders must act in this way. And then, not only is there an expectation of his coming so that they must do what he asks, but there's also the expectation of reward. For he says, they will receive the crown, which is glory. It's an unfading crown of glory. There is an expectation for a reward. And that should drive the elders to act in such a way that their ministry glorifies God, and we have seen that. He has been the example for us. And the praise belongs to God. The elders are not elders because of their natural ability. For there is no one who would be able to satisfy the requirements in their own strength. They are not elders in this passage because Peter has installed them. They are elders because the chief shepherd has placed them there. That brings us to the second exhortation to the others in verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Now here, elders is used in two ways. It's used as both the office of elder and also those who are older in age, who are oftentimes the elders of the church. And Peter is referring to the rest of the congregation as he speaks to them. He says, I've spoken to the elders, and now to the rest of you. You must be subject. This isn't a new phrase for Peter, for he uses it in chapter 2, verse 13, chapter 2, verse 18, chapter 3, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 5, 322, and here. He is constantly saying to a certain group, be subject to them. Slaves, be subject to your masters. Wives, be subject to your husbands. All of you, be subject to the ruling authorities. And here he says, be subject to the elders. Your view of the elders must be changed by the fact that Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. You must be subject to the elders because Christ has placed them here for you. When they offer godly leadership, follow them willingly, not grumbling. This passage reflects as well what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Your view of the elders must be governed by the fact that Jesus Christ is his chief shepherd, and he has placed them here for you. Just as the elders must view the congregation as though the flock which God has given to them, has entrusted to them, but are his, you must view the elders as those who God has placed in your life. The elders are dealing with the congregation and shepherding them in this way. And the sheep, the congregation, must follow the elders. And I thank you for your encouragement of doing that. As Crystal and I have come in and we've seen your relationship with the Odins, it has encouraged us, because we have seen you in following his leadership. We can see the changed lives of those who have listened to his counsel from God's word, and sought to obey God's word as he has presented it. But I encourage you, continue to do that. It's so easy, and perhaps you have been in churches where this happens, to begin to cut away the feet of the leadership. And it starts small in a corner and it spreads and it ends in destruction. Please remember that your elders are those who God has placed here for you. We have an exhortation to the elders and an exhortation to the others. And now the exhortation to all, second part of verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. This exhortation to all is that all must be humble towards others, elders and the congregation. All of us must act in humility to one another. This can be done because of our great example, Jesus Christ. Most likely, Peter, as he is writing this, is thinking back to what took place, as recorded in John chapter 13, when Jesus Christ took a towel, wrapped it around his waist, and began to wash the disciples' feet. For this word, gird yourself, clothe yourselves, is that act of wrapping the towel around your waist. As a servant would do in preparation to serve, to wash others' feet, Peter is saying, wrap yourselves in humility, one to another. Invest your life in humbleness. Make that your chief characteristic towards one another. This was not an easy thing for Peter's readers, because in this Greco-Roman culture, the idea of humility was seen as something that the slaves must do, not that they must do. But Peter here explains to them, you must do it. And the reason behind the command is because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He references Proverbs chapter 3, just as James does at the end of his letter, explain that God forces off the proud. They can't approach him. But he brings the humble in, and he encourages all of those in the church, you and me, to act in humility to one another. Not only must they be humble before others, but they must be humble before God. In verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Humble, we must be humble toward others and humble towards God, because the mighty hand of God, the mighty hand which brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the mighty hand which parted the waters, the mighty hand which guided the life of the Hebrews through the various difficulties that they faced as they entered the promised land, is what we must humble ourselves under. And we do this by casting all our anxieties on him. The word casting or placing is the word that was used in Luke when they placed their cloaks on the colt and Jesus sat upon it and entered Jerusalem. The disciples cast their cloaks on the colt. And this picture is used for us to cast our cares, place them upon God, for he cares for us. And that is a sign of humility. You see, when we let anxieties about what's going on in our lives, what's going on in our relationship with others, in this church, what we see going on, when we have anxieties about these things and we refuse to give them to God, we are being proud. The opposite of humble. We must cast our cares on him. This is what each of us are to do. Be humble to others, be humble to God. What does this look like in our lives? For elders, we must follow the chief shepherd who has placed us in this ministry and will come again. We must recognize Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd, who we are accountable, who has placed the sheep in our hands, that we must lead and guide and exercise oversight. We must realize that we are not the top. For the congregation, you must support and follow godly pastoral leadership in the church, for Christ has given you these leaders. The chief shepherd has placed you here. That involves praying for the leaders. That involves encouraging them. That involves caring for them. That involves, when someone comes to you with a complaint about them, to say, if there's an issue, we can go talk to them about that. Don't foster it. Don't spread it. And this includes all of us, that we must clothe ourselves with humility towards others, because Christ both commanded and demonstrated this. These exhortations were given to this early church. They're given to us today. I am thankful for how you have shown that to me. I am thankful for how you have obeyed these exhortations. I'm thankful to Pastor Odins for his great leadership, for all that he has done. I'm thankful to you for your encouragement of Pastor Odins and myself. And I'm thankful to each one of you in your acts of humility, but I encourage you, continue to do so, for Christ is our chief shepherd, and that must govern every interaction, every relationship, every word here at Liberty Baptist. To him be the glory and the honor and praise for all that he has done through his servants. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for what you have done, and we pray that the glory would go to you for the lives of Pastor Odins and Gloria in these last 10 years that they have ministered here at Liberty Baptist Church. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.